Welcome to the Humanized Podcast, your health personalized. I am your host, Rebecca Kelly, and today I'm very excited to talk with our guest, Madeline Shalaki. And before I introduce Madeline, I wanted to remind everyone to subscribe to get all of our variety of casts in audio, video, and transcription at humanizedhealth.com. I'd also like to thank our lead sponsor, Village Green Apothecary, at myvillagegreen.com. A little bit about our guest. Madeline Shalaki is the founder of Hormones Balance, a thriving online community dedicated to helping women balance hormones naturally. Madeline is a nutrition coach, certified herbalist, a published best-selling cookbook author, speaker, and educator. She is passionate about helping women find hormone balance with her food, with her books, online programs, and education. Thank you so much, Madeline, for being here with us. We're so excited. Yeah.
Thank you. And thank you for, you know, I'm just super excited about anyone who wants to talk about something that bothers almost 90% of the women out there, you know, in some way. And it's yet nobody's talking about it, really.
No one isn't. But you wrote a book, Overcoming Estrogen Dominance. Thank you, first off, as a woman, so appreciative. And when I read it, it was eye-opening, and I've already started implementing some of your suggestions. I think I already know, but I'm going to ask you, what led you to writing Overcoming Estrogen Dominance?
Well, two main reasons. One is my own story with estrogen dominance, also having family members on both sides of my family dying from estrogenic cancers, and they've had estrogen dominance for a very long time. I've realized talking to my parents that no woman in our family in both sides has held on to her uterus after age 45 or 50. And so, you know, my own story, but also the fact that it is a highly underestimated space and no one is really talking about it. And it's kind of normalized. Like, you know, if you're having fibroids and lumpy breasts and thyroid nodules and all that, all these different symptoms of estrogen dominance, it's kind of like, it's part of being a woman. You've got PMS, it's part of being a woman. And I've discovered through my own research that A, that's not necessary, and B, you can do a lot of things to reverse that.
So true. So why do you think that people aren't talking about estrogen dominance as a cause of women's health issues? Like,
did you say why they are not talking about
it? Why is it like a vacuum? I feel like it's a vacuum.
Right. You know, I think it's because, largely it's because there is no specific, one pill that can solve all of that. Right.
Yeah.
The best that we can do is put women on birth control pills, which were designed to for contraception and not for medical conditions, or put us on, you know, antidepressants and anti-anxiety medication, right? When you're having that time of the year, the type of the month. So I think it's just no specific solution. And as you know, allopathic medicine doesn't focus on things like balancing your gut health or supporting your liver, which is so instrumental in estrogen dominance.
Right. What types of testing do you recommend for women who are struggling with potential estrogen dominant symptoms?
Yeah, so the first thing I will say is, you know, when I was in private practice, I had a lot of women walking in with their blood work and showing it to me and saying, look, my doctor says I have no problem with hormones, and yet this person would have a history of thyroid nodules and fibroids, and she's got terrible PMSs, or she's got period for 20 days in a month, right? So screaming symptoms of estrogen dominance, yet she's told everything is fine. So blood work for steroid hormones is a pretty useless diagnostic tool. Much more effective would be, my favorite is doing urine testing, mm-hmm. and would show your levels of estrogen, but also how your body breaks down those estrogens, which is really, really important. I also like saliva testing because that shows you the true levels of progesterone. And in a case of estrogen dominance, the level of estrogen progesterone are actually really important to understand how these two correlate. And so so saliva testing is a pretty decent test too.
Okay. Are there three things you would suggest women can do to start taking control of their hormone health?
Yeah. So, you know, I think there's a couple of, there's so many more than three, but if we just want to talk about three, so I would say
the
top three, right? So I think the first one that makes a huge difference is addressing how your body breaks down those estrogens internally, that you produce already estrogens, right? And estrogen. And, you know, I just want to clarify one thing. Let's not demonize estrogen. The term estrogen dominance is, I'm grateful for it, that it's recognized and it's a condition, but it also misleads women to thinking that just because I have estrogen, it's a bad thing. Right. You and I would not be here having a conversation in a meaningful way if our estrogen was too low, right? Right. And as we know, when your estrogen is too low, you're going through through menopause, which is no fun. So estrogen is not to be blamed. There's various forms of estrogen dominance, but one of the most significant ones to look at and understand is how your body breaks down estrogens makes a very big difference. And you've got those clean estrogens that are protective and they build and support and protect, and you'll have those dirty estrogens that are causing all those symptoms that we mentioned some of them. And so guess what? The place where predominantly where the breakdown of estrogen happens is our liver, right? And so so to your point, what can we do with top three things? I mean, there's so many things we can do to support our liver. The first thing, you know, looking at your daily diet, right? Mm-hmm. Incorporating anything that is of bitter, has got a bitter taste to it, can be a wonderful support for the liver. And so, you know, I always say, get rid of the lettuce in your salad, substitute that with bitter greens. So that could be something like arugula or baby kale, or mustard greens, right? Chop up some turnips and radishes and put that into your salad, right? Instead of putting things like corn, you know, or zucchinis or cucumbers, which are nutritionally sort of like on the lower side of the nutritional spectrum. So those are really, I mean, that's so the bitter quality. Another thing is, you know, talking about bitters, the liver really loves the bitters, right? Anything that's, and so herbs that are of high bitter quality. So things like doing digestive bitters before a meal, after a meal, or doing like a burdock and dandelion root tea, which, you know, after a meal, right?
Right.
Some of the places now you walk into a health food store and you find different herbal teas, and some of them that support the liver would have a lot of bitter herbs in that. And I will tell you, you know, there is a number of women in our community who said that they didn't really think of doing a tea like that, but then once they started doing it, because that was part of our protocol, they said that they got really addicted to it. And I mean, in a good way, like they just fell in love with it in their body.
Yes.
Was just like really asking for it, right? Because they just felt like bodies kind of like, you know, really responding to it and saying like, I'm so grateful when you have that tea, bring it on.
Right.
So I would say those are the bitters for the liver. The other part, which is one thing that we should really eliminate from, you know, external sources of estrogen, right? Because that's also a big issue.
Mm-hmm.
Is throw away all your skincare products that are from brands that are advertised on television, mass media, companies that can afford to be in the top shelves in stores that spend multi-million dollars on advertising. Switch to brands that are really clean. You can look it up on EWG.org website on their skincare, you know, the listing on how clean this skincare brands are, and there are so many of them. So elimination of that is a huge thing. You know, and I will say the third thing really is sleep. You know, having high quality sleep is when your body rejuvenates, your liver has a break, you're producing new estrogens, you're producing progesterone during your deep sleep. And so, you know, having sufficient sleep and fixing your sleep, which a lot of women have a problem with after, like when you reach that 35, 40, 45 age, our sleep starts declining. And so fixing that is something that I have found a lot of women really having a great improvement.
Wow, those are all wonderful suggestions. And it's very hard, I find anyway, to find bitter sometimes. You have to actually go out and find it because it's not necessarily something that we easily find on the menu typically. So
it is very true. And I think, you know, as an herbalist, I'll be the first person to say that bitters are, or the bitter flavor is a forgotten flavor in a Western you know, culinary spectrum, right? We love those. We love obviously a lot of sweetness. We have a lot of salt. We have a little bit of sour, but bitterness is something that is frowned upon. So, but once you bring it in and your body really starts, you know, feeling the difference, and not just from like a liver perspective, but your bowels improve. Feel like your food is not sitting there anymore. You start getting a lot more energy after having a meal. So the benefits are endless.
It's amazing. Why do you think that PMS is assumed to be part of being a woman?
BS. So, you know, I mean, I think it's a big part of our culture, right? And to what I said earlier is because we don't have a solution to it unless you put on a pill, which a lot of women don't want to be put on a pill. you know, I think there is, I would say that's absolutely not necessary. What I want to acknowledge is that if you look at a chart of our hormones throughout a cycle, if you, if a woman is still menstruating, right? I mean, mm-hmm. it is an up and down cycle. So I want to acknowledge that when you are going through, your cycle, it's normal to have times of being really open and dynamic and want to exercise a lot. And there's times, like, for example, before your period, during a period, when you really feel that shutdown. But it just means that you want to be quiet. Maybe you want to be alone. Maybe you don't want to go on potty and meet friends. But it doesn't mean you have to be in a fetal position on the floor with, you know, three bottles of painkillers, right?
Yeah.
So there is that. And let me tell you, when you do fix your estrogen dominance, your PMS becomes an event that occurs to you and it doesn't destroy your life.
Right. Well, how about on the other side, why do women in menopause with low estrogen often experience estrogen dominance? Because it seems counterintuitive, right? If your estrogen's going down, how are you estrogen dominant?
Right. So that's a very common question we get on our website, and it's a valid question. We have a quiz when people ask, you know, I'm in menopause and I'm an estrogen dominant. I think your quiz is, something is wrong with your quiz. There's nothing wrong with our quiz. You can be estrogen dominant. If you think about it, most breast cancers in developed countries are due to estrogen dominance. Mm-hmm. We call it estrogen receptor positive breast cancer, right?
Right.
So why is it that women, and the highest demographic are women after 55? So 55 to 75 is the window. So if you think about it, if estrogen dominance, it was, you know, and those women have very low estrogen, right? So estrogen dominance can happen. It can. So just because as your hormones drop, how you break down those estrogens, however little you have of them, still makes a difference. And this is the reason why, as you know, also as we age, our livers, and if our liver is unsupported for all these years, then it makes it much harder for the body to break down estrogen. So you can be low on estrogen, but still breaking them down in an unfavorable way of producing too many dirty estrogens. The second way this can happen is that even though both estrogen and progesterone drop during that time, progesterone unfortunately drops faster and more so than estrogen does. So the proportion of estrogen to progesterone in menopausal years tend to be very unbalanced. Mm-hmm. And think of estrogen and progesterone as two dancing partners. Like if you watch a dance competition, if the guy is too flamboyant and overdressed and the woman is timid, it doesn't look right, right? Or, right. And vice versa.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Great analogy. Yes.
Right. Have to dance together. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah.
Right. Wow. Thanks, Madalena. Those are really valuable insights. Madalena Shalaki can be found at www.hormoneswithanSbalance.com. That's HormoneSbalance.com. Let me remind you to subscribe and get access to all Humanized videos, podcasts, and transcriptions from all of our thought leaders on personalized health at humanizedhealth.com.